In the app, there's a sermon note for today. And right before that, there's a sermon note that allows you to go in and designate every day what you'd like to fast from. And, you know, there's different people that are able to fast in different ways. Just put it that way. But what we're doing when we fast is we're taking something that is ruling us in some way in our life, and we're disabling it and saying, no, Jesus is Lord in this area too, right? And, man, we have so many things in our present day that can affect that. We have so much entertainment that kind of dominates us. We can get hooked on stuff, can't we? Man, our phones. Here, I'm doing this even now. Our phones can be our gods, can't they? What's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? Where's my phone? Right? It's like, I gotta get that thing so I can see if anybody got a hold of me, if I can, you know, all this. We're married to some things that really, it's interesting if you could just take it away for a day and see how much space it makes for something else, right? And so food, I mean, from the time of Jesus, it didn't say if you fast, it said when you fast. It's like, you're going to do it. Now, they might have actually, you know, it's actually healthy for you to fast also. But when they were talking about fasting, they weren't talking about your phone. They weren't talking about football. And I'm so glad they never talked about my football. No. Because I'm gonna watch the Broncos today. But they were talking about food. They were talking about food. So I believe there's a necessity, and I want to encourage us in some way. Take something that man, you just feel like you can't live without. And just say, you know what, I'm going to say no to that. Amen? Now, you know, I'm going to do some things. And what I kind of get started, and then I get more and more disciplined actually up to the end. And it's just the way I feel impressed. But I encourage us to let food to be something that's involved in this. And so, again, there's a sermon note that allows you to go in there and fill in what you'd like to do for that particular day. We have hard copies of the same thing back on that connection booth back there. But let's participate in this together. We're going to look at some things today how important it is to be doing some things together. And because we're not brought into an isolation relationship. We've been called into a kingdom relationship with God. Amen? And that means we're together in some things. Actually, this is where our power lies, not in just what I have with God. Leave me alone while I figure out what I'm doing. No, he said, I called you into a place where you need somebody. You need some, and somebody needs you. That's one of the greatest revelations you can get in your life, is that me being strong in the Lord, somebody else is depending on that for their revelation of God. Is that right? So this is why these times are so critical, is because we've got other kingdoms in our life, and we're going to sing a little bit at the end, and I'd like us to worship. Can we get ready for that? I'm excited about just, man, let's make some prayer unto God and say, God, this is me. But we have some other kingdoms in our life, and we're not really familiar with that word kingdom. We started talking about it last week a little bit, but how where there's a kingdom, there's a king, there's a territory, there's ways of doing things, and there's people. Can't have a kingdom without people, right? That's why the people part of the kingdom of God is so critical. He didn't make a whole bunch of individual kingdoms. He made a kingdom that we're all a part of. Is that right? Amen. So what I want to talk about today, though, is this kingdom that we've been called into. Let me just give an example of this. How many have traveled overseas a little bit? Can you identify Americans when you're like in Europe? How? Huh? They're cocky, aren't they? They're thinking, I'm bringing America to wherever I go. Is that right? Look at how readily they responded with that. It's like, so it was interesting because my brother and I went to Africa for 6 months, and then we traveled through Europe for 2 months on a train. And we did not look like Americans because we were all gnarly and we were kind of nice. We're actually not just Americans, we're Christians, you know, so I don't know if that affected anything or not, but we actually got stopped. They thought we were terrorists or something at a train station one time. But you could tell that Americans, a lot of times they just, wherever I go, my rights go, and I need to be treated a certain way because this is what I'm used to. I'm somebody, right? Now, the inverse also takes place in some of the people that come to America. Well, let me go back to what I was given as far as Americans go. The problem with Americans wanting to take America to wherever they're going is they don't get to experience where they're going as much. You see that? Because instead of saying, okay, I'm going to let go of where I've gone or where I've come to experience where I'm going. You have to let go of where you've come in order to actually experience that. So on a greater scale, this happens for a lot of people that are coming to America. Don't you love everybody? Your heart goes out to these people. They sincerely want a change, right? Or they want something different than where they've been anyway. Is that right? But here is the challenge for coming to a place like America is a lot of times people don't want to leave where they've come from. They don't want to become an American. They want to stay here as wherever they've been, create their own community. You know, my brother, he travels around the world, and his ministry is, they call it unreached people groups, that they're people that have not heard the message of the gospel of Jesus. And so a lot of it is in, they call it a 1040 window. It's kind of over in the Middle East and in Asia and stuff, you know. And man, there's a lot of people. But you know what he said? He said, a lot of the unreached people groups are in America. It's because they come here and they don't want to be an American. They just bring their own culture here, build their own temples, do their own thing here. And they never really let go of where they were. So they don't really get to experience America completely. Right? So there's a necessity. This kingdom that we've gotten, and we looked at this last week. This Jesus said, this is the reason why I came, was for the kingdom of God. And so when we make Jesus our Lord, there's a challenge for us. Either I'm going to come into your kingdom, and I'm going to become what you say I am, or I'm going to take where I've come from and just try to make you a little badge that I wear. Right? He said, no. To become a part of the kingdom, you got to let go of your old identity. Amen? And you have to come in, and first of all, we've been given access by the blood of Jesus to this place. Right? It's a new kingdom, but what needs to take place first of all, and we've talked about this a little bit, but I want to hit it today, is the first thing that you have to embrace in a new kingdom is the king, right? Man, we've experienced this as a nation. Everything that the nation experiences comes from the one that's on the top. Is that right? And I'm not going to say too much, but we're fixing to have a change, aren't we? And it's going to affect our whole country. Everybody that comes across that border is going to be affected by who's in charge. Is that right? And the best thing to do is get hooked up with whatever they've got going. Say, I'm going to be a part of that. Is that right? So we come into the kingdom of God, and the first thing we need to do is start magnifying, getting to know, and honoring the king. There's no participation in the kingdom without
honoring the King.
So the verse that we're looking at then is we're going to go into this time of fasting. We want to get results in all kinds of areas of our life, amen? But it will come from knowing the King of the kingdom. Amen? And it comes from Matthew 6:33. Remember, Jesus is talking about all the stuff we could ever need in our life. And he said, nature is already being clothed by God. And if God can do that for birds, if he can do it for flowers, if he can do it for all these other things, he can do it for us. All we need to do is seek him. Seek his kingdom, right? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And he will give you everything you need. So this is our foundational message that we're just going to use here for the next 3 weeks. And again, how do we seek the kingdom? That becomes a challenging thing. How do you know what you're seeking? It's by what you're spending your time thinking about. If you're into Bitcoin, you're seeking Bitcoin. You're studying it, right? If you're into health, if you're into weightlifting, you're not there yet. You're seeking it. Is that right? You're applying yourself to know something more about it, to give your time to it to some extent, right? So when we're seeking the kingdom, we're going to have to give our time. We're going to have to think about it. We're going to have to give our time to it. Amen? And he says, not just somewhere in the mix. He says, on the top of the mix. It's going to have to be first. Man, let's be challenged. If we could, you know, everybody close your eyes, and everybody that's like seeking the kingdom first, you get to raise your hand. And the only one that gets to see is God. You know, he already knows, right? But we've got so many other things going on, don't we? And he is that in our life, but, man, I feel like we should be challenged in this all the time. Amen? You know, it's interesting. Some people, you talk to them, and it doesn't matter where the conversation starts. You know where it's going to end because you know where they're seeking. Is that right? That means there's not a moment in their life that goes by when they're not thinking about that. You know what I mean? And this is what Jesus is saying. He said, if you'll just begin to just have an experience with the kingdom, these other things will begin to fall into place. Without you having to work so hard for him. Amen? All right. So again, I just want to look at the King here today. Because the King in this kingdom, we haven't even begun to see how great he is. Honor of him, we've just begun. Amen? And the more we elevate him, the more we elevate him and actually put other kings below him, amen? We cannot seek him enough. Right? Let's look at it. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, man, we could hang out there for a while and poke on some of those kind of things, but I just want to get into to the King eternal, immortal, invisible. Man, just don't even begin to assume how many know Jesus. Well, we do, but it's just like a little tiny glimpse. Is that right? And if we're really into him, it's not going to be something that comes out at the last thing in our conversations in the day. He's going to be in front somehow. Is that right? Man, I've been stirred in this recently. I don't want Jesus to be, I don't want him to be some religious thing where I have to use different words to talk to him and stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, I just want to talk to him all the time. Because he doesn't need all that facade stuff. Right? But he needs me. And he doesn't need to meet me to pretend stuff either. I just come the way I am. Amen? Because I haven't gotten there yet. I'm consumed with getting there in him. Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy 6:15. He's beyond what we've yet experienced. I'm just going to hang on this a little bit. So much is good. Timothy really sees some of this stuff. Let's look at this. He is much more than we've seen. At just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No human eye has ever seen him, nor ever will. All honor and power to him forever. So it says there's a brilliance in him that we can't even behold. Is that amazing? Right? So brilliant, no human can approach him. So in the reality, remember Moses went up on the mountain and he was going to, he said, I want to see you, God. And he said, you can't see me. You can only see part of me, like when I go by. You can't see me because nobody can see me and live. And even in beholding God going by, he came down and nobody could look at Moses. He was so bright. This isn't just like a story. This is the reality of God. Amen? No human eye has ever seen him, nor ever will. All honor and power to him forever. What does that mean, all honor? That means all value. All praise. Man, this is not a song service. This is a daily occupation of our attention. Is that right? We're seeking him. Now, he's talking about God here, isn't he? Because look at this next passage. This is so cool. So how can we interact with this guy? Remember he hid himself in the burning bush for Moses? It's like, you're not going to see me. You're going to see other stuff. Is that right? But look at what Colossians 1:15 says. Seeking Jesus is beholding the Father. This is a really cool trick that God provided for us. He said, you can't see me, but I'm going to send you me in a human body. And you're going to be able to see me by seeing Jesus. Isn't this cool? Christ is the invisible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. He's the king. Man, this place we're going to in him, we cannot take lightly. We cannot say, oh yeah, I've seen him. No. To actually behold him is to want to behold more. Is that right? Amen. That's why it's so important to present ourselves before him and say, God, I'm seeking you with all of my heart. What happens when we seek Jesus? He said, behold, you see me, you've seen the Father. Amen? All right. I'm just going to go through some of these, and then we're going to worship a little bit. Can we do that? Let's determine in our hearts, we're going to seek him today. Praise God. He's made it so that we can. We don't deserve it. Right? Love for each other produces God's full expression. This is the cool thing. That's why we're here together. Man, this is so amazing that God says, you know what? To really behold Jesus, you need to be together with people. It's through people you're going to behold Jesus. Now, I'm so grateful that, you know, people have visions and stuff like that of Jesus alone. But he said, no, on a continual basis, I'm going to be seen through people. Right? 1 John 4:12. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. How does God live in us? Not when somebody loves me, but when I love somebody else. Is that right? And it said, then we get to the full expression of God is experienced in that. Oh, man, it's so important how we're treating each other. Amen? To seek the kingdom means I have to seek somebody. We'll seek Jesus to behold the Father, but we'll seek each other to behold Jesus. Amen?
All right. Okay, his kingdom is eternal. If you can just put up that headline. So here's the cool thing about this. We've gotten so used to things changing. Kingdoms of this world, they come and go, don't they? You know, I was saying that Venice was interesting because it's the actually longest running government in history. It went 1,000 years. I'm thinking, just 1,000 years? Nobody ever went longer than that? Well, according to what they told us there anyway. Because kingdoms come and go, right? So you can't really trust anything else anyway. Anything that we're relying upon in this world is going to go, right? And here's part of seeking him that can be encouraging for us. He's not going anywhere. He has been, and he will be forever. Amen. Psalm 145, gracious promise keeper. He's not political. Don't you like this? Don't you like this? All the commentators and stuff, they keep this calculation of how our leaders have kept their promises and how many have just lied about things. You know, they like to really make it all political, right? But when it comes to our king, he doesn't just make promises that he doesn't keep, right? Yeah. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. Man, when we're seeking him, we're not seeking something that's going to go away. He hasn't promised us something he's not going to keep. Amen? Not only do we have to love and to seek his face, when we do, when we get there, it's going to be something that it's not going to be pulled out from under our feet. It's a foundation we can build our lives on with great confidence. Amen? Don't you like that song? I build my life on love. Amen? Hebrews 18:12. I'm going to read through this. This is a good passage. His throne of justice remains sustained through the passing of all others. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. He also says to the Son, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will fold them like a cloak and discard them like old clothing. But you are always the same. You will live forever. Oh, Jesus, we just magnify you right in this moment. Lord, everything else is going away, but you're not. Oh, Lord, we just place our hearts in your care. Lord, we run into your kingdom. Lord, we seek you with all that's within us today and find ourselves secure in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, our hope is alive in you. Seeking him establishes the unshakable. And I like this. When you get hooked up with God, when the world is shaken, how many have had a world shaking going on? Man, we've experienced some stuff in the last few years, haven't we? But the kingdom, when the whole world is shaken, things that are part of the kingdom don't fall. Good part to meditate on. Hebrews 12:27. Worship of him removes things that will shake. And this is kind of where we're going in our fasting time. Let's remove stuff that will shake. Amen. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshakable things will remain. Now here's the part where it's kind of shifting over to our responsibility a little bit. And this is why we fast, is because we're ensuring that our confidence is in the unshakable. Amen? Yeah. We're not basing our lives upon things that can shake and be moved. Is that right? Since we are receiving a kingdom, talking about the kingdom, right? Seeking the kingdom. Since we're receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, we have no reason to feel shaken if we've if we're seeking the kingdom, if we've come into the territory of the king and we're worshiping the king. Is that right? Let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. What does he devour? He devours all the things that are not part of his kingdom. Is that right? So what we're doing when we worship him, we're allowing things to be consumed that will shake. Right? Oh, let's experience this. Amen? It's a wonderful thing. When we're seeking him, when we're worshiping him, when we're bowing down before him, there's a removal of things that will shake in his presence. Amen? Victorious with his called, chosen and faithful. So what happens in Revelation? You get the end. You get the end result of this that takes place, right? It says, together they will go to war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will defeat them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And he is his called. And this is what connects us with him. What did it say? It said, let us worship him. Because he's a consuming fire. What happens when we begin to seek the kingdom? We become his. And we get to participate in where his kingdom is going. Right? And it says, and his called. It's not enough to just have an invitation. You have to go there. It has to occupy who you are. Amen? And his called and chosen and faithful ones will be with him. Amen? Man, this is critical. When he is defeating his enemies and the end time comes, it's not going to be time to be signing up. Those that are with him in the end, because he's the king, he's going to survive. Everything else has fallen away. Everything else will shake. But who gets to be with him in the end? It's going to be those who are not just called, but chosen. When I think about chosen, I think about they're the ones that received a call and answered it. That's the choosing part, right? I've chosen to follow him. Amen? And then it's not enough to just do that. It's to become faithful to him in his kingdom. Amen? So, there's a necessity, and this is something we can do this morning in worship. If the worship team can come forward, I just want to sing a little bit. Can we honor our King here this morning? Amen? And I want to encourage you during this next 3 weeks at least, but let's make this a part of our life. Deferring to the presence of God beheld in Jesus. Can we do that? Let's grow. And when we're setting something else aside, when we're saying, I'm not going to do this for this period of time, let's don't just become zombies somehow. You know what I mean? It's like, no, let's set our hearts on this King that is so amazing. And say, God, I have not really seen you at all yet. Open the eyes of my... Don't you like that old song? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. What was that about? I want to see you. I want to behold you for who you are. Why that? Because it's critical. I want to be with you. Amen? In your kingdom. Everything that you're about, I want to be about. Amen? So here's this other passage out of Revelation. We're going to sing this song to start off here. It requires us going before the king, not just to go before the king to adore him and to let him hug us and give us stuff and everything else. But before that happens, there needs to be a casting down of other things in our life. Amen? And you know, I can't tell you what those things are. There's addictions. There's meditations, there's relationships, there's things that anything that is not of faith in God becomes a kingdom in itself, because we're actually meditating on it and we're giving our time to it. And it has a king. It has a crown. We have to go before him. We have to cast that crown down. It's not a terrible thing. It's just like, oh, I cast my crown down. It needs to be a good thing, right? But look here out of Revelation. It says, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, O Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased. You know, there's so much, it seems like our words are just understatements all the time. But there's this reality in just saying, God, I recognize that there's so much more, but I'm coming right now with what I know to cast. I'm coming right now with this part of my heart that's been occupied with other things, and I'm just going to lay it at your feet right now. Because this precedes true worship. You know, that they will worship him will worship him how? In spirit and in truth. This is part of that truth part. I can't be worshiping him with other kings in my life. Is that right?